Al, please be seated.
Well, before we turn to our text, you may wonder why Dr. York asked a very rookie preacher to come and preach to you all. Sort of wondered the same thing myself when he asked me, but if nothing else, at least it'll show you that, you know, you're working now, working on becoming a better preacher, some of you, and you'll still be working a year or two down the road as well. Well, if you would turn in your copies of God's Word to John chapter 10, John chapter 10. This is also my first time preaching here where I don't have to worry about getting a worse grade if I go past the bell. But well, John chapter 10, we're going to read verses 1. Actually, we'll read through verse 11, though our focus will be through verse 10. John 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have good life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever. Let's briefly pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we sang just a few minutes ago, Lord, we pray that we would hear your voice, that your voice, your truth of your word would come out. And Lord, it would not be me, it would not be my word, but yours. And Lord, we pray that all of us would indeed hear, our hearts would not be hardened, but we would hear your voice, we would listen, and you would use this by the work of your Holy Spirit in the ways that each of us needs it. We pray that you would be at work here this morning, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, here we're dealing with one of the I am statements of Jesus, the first of two in this chapter. I am the door of the sheep is what we're focusing on. Just as a little bit of context, previously in John chapter 9, what had happened, there was this Jesus healing this man who was born blind. And if you remember, you know what ended up happening, that he confessed Christ, that he said this man must be of God, and then he was kicked out of the temple. And Jesus found him and spoke to him, and finally he saw Jesus with his eyes for the first time. And Jesus told him that that he was who he was, and he said, the blind man said, Lord, I believe, and worshipped. And then Jesus said, following that, for judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who may see, who do see, may become blind. And the Pharisees overheard that, and they said, Lord, are we blind also? But Jesus said, no, it's actually worse for you. If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains. And immediately following that, Jesus goes directly into this picture, this allegory in John chapter 10, this extended allegory, really. And the beginning, the first five verses in particular, Jesus is setting the scene. He's describing a scene that would have been very familiar to his hearers, even though it may not be, probably is not, to any of us. Even if you or me have seen shepherding to some degree, the way that it's done in most English-speaking nations is very different than it was done here. But his audience would have understood, would have known this. They would have seen this picture. They would have understood the idea of a communal sheepfold, that there was a doorkeeper to this sheepfold to let the right shepherds in with their sheep. And then there were shepherds who knew their sheep by name, who called them by name, sheep who followed their shepherds. In this type of shepherding, it's not like using sheepdogs, or even today you might see quads where you chase the sheep and the sheepdogs are nipping at their heels to get them to go where you want. But instead, shepherds in that day would have had especially a few pet sheep that were very close to them, who always followed them. And they, those pet sheep, would even help shepherd the other sheep to go with the shepherd. And they would follow their shepherd, their beloved master. And Jesus is using this picture to begin his discourse. He's giving really, in a sense, an illustration, and then he's going to explain it. And we do need to be careful not to allegorize every single item, every single picture in verses 1 through 5, because it's not meant to be allegorized to the nth degree. Jesus is opening up with a picture, and then he goes on to explain it in the following verses. So these first five verses serve as an introductory illustration, but even so, there are some applications we can make, not only from 7 through 10, but from 1 through 5 and 6. There's a lot, as you know, of sheep and shepherd imagery in Scripture, including in the Gospels. In Mark, Jesus saw a great crowd and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And so I'll ask all of you who are here, why are you here? Why are you studying at RPTS? Why are you studying to perhaps be a pastor, or at least to be better able to serve, to minister in the church? Those of you who are studying to be pastors, you get the blessing of studying under other pastors. And are you doing so because you were burdened like Jesus was? Are you burdened for the sheep that are without a shepherd? Well, you who are seeking to be under shepherds of our great shepherd, Jesus Christ, there is much for you and I in this text. There's much for all of us in this text. We're not focusing on Jesus being our shepherd so much. We're focusing, however, on Jesus being the door of the sheep. This is a unique picture here in the beginning of John 10 in all of Scripture. And so I want to ask you, is Jesus your door? And are you a sheep of Jesus's pasture? Is Jesus your door? And are you a sheep of Jesus's pasture? Well, first, as we look at verse 1, as well as verses 8 and 10, we see Jesus makes it very clear, he who enters the sheepfold by another way is a thief and a robber. Jesus begins this discourse with a negative, a contrast. He talks about one who is not a shepherd, one who doesn't care about the sheep. Jesus is talking about someone who's sneaking around, who's not going through the gate like they're supposed to, by going by the gatekeeper, but instead climbing over the wall, even so that he can steal a sheep for his own purposes. But I want to challenge you, are you like this? If you enter the sheepfold by another way, you are a sheep. A thief and a robber. So is that you? Are you trying to get right with God your own way? Like in Pilgrim's Progress, formalist and hypocrisy from the land of vain glory who hopped over the fence in front of Christian in Pilgrim's Progress to try to get to the celestial city, to try to get to heaven their own way. Are you trying to do that? There are people who are in the visible church but are not actually Christ's sheep, which I know you well know. You who are seeking to be shepherds, you also ought to check yourselves. Not only look out for others, but check yourselves. Even worse than trying to sneak in, trying to get right with God your own way, are you trying to get what you can from the sheep? Are you seeking to steal from the sheep? Are you trying to use the sheep to build up yourselves at the expense of the sheep? I hope that none of that is the case or ever will be the case for any of you here. But you do need to watch out, because there are people like that. There are wolves. Not only leaders, but all hypocrites who are part of the church. And they must be told, you must tell them of the imminent danger that they are in, that their hearts must be changed, that they must come in by the door, Jesus Christ. You must warn them. You must show them this. You must show them that just like being in a garage doesn't make a person a car, being a part of the visible church does not make someone one of God's sheep, does not make someone a Christian. There are many who have come in over the wall instead of going through the gate. And let me encourage you to take very seriously those, some of you here, I know, are shepherds now, and some of you will be one day. Take seriously, evaluate those who seek to join the visible church. Have they, as far as you know, entered in through the gate, Jesus Christ? Do they have a clear profession of faith? Do they have clear evidence of fruit in their lives? We must take this responsibility seriously. It's yes, an exciting and a blessed part of the calling of an elder, but it is a solemn duty as well. You are not the, you will not be the gatekeeper, but you do have a responsibility to your Father who is the gatekeeper. And even worse than a sheep not entering by the gate are the false shepherds, the false teachers, the wolves who only want to know what they can steal from the sheep, what they can get from the sheep, seeking to kill and destroy, like Jesus says in verse 10. They want to profit from the sheep, perhaps even like the wicked shepherds of Israel in Ezekiel 34, even eating the sheep for their own sustenance, for their own gain. They kill them, they eat them, they only want to get whatever they can from them. And brothers, you must watch out for them. You must guard your sheep that God calls you to shepherd one day. Guard your sheep from these so-called shepherds. Calvin, about this passage, says that we must therefore, above all things, guard against being deceived by pretended shepherds or by counterfeit sheep. We must guard against both being deceived by pretended shepherds or counterfeit sheep. We must guard against both. Well, secondly, as we consider and really as we consider what Jesus is saying here, and especially looking at verses 2 through 6, we see the contrast to the negative that Jesus begins with. We see that he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep, and that shepherd is known and followed by his sheep. Shepherds are to enter the door properly, to enter the door through Jesus Christ, the door. And here in verses 2 and 4, the shepherd, even though in his introductory verses, it's not necessarily Jesus, even though Jesus, yes, does say later, I am the good shepherd. He is the ultimate shepherd of the sheep. But the shepherd in verses 2, 3, and 4, this picture is simply one who is to lead his sheep. The shepherd is simply one who is leading his sheep and is doing it properly. And we ought to look to these shepherds as truly under shepherds, as shepherd pastors, that they are to enter the door properly, that they are allowed in by the gatekeeper, our Father in heaven. And those sheep are known by their shepherd who cares for them. And sadly, as also I'm sure you know, there are many shepherd pastors who don't take these steps. They go in secretly. They don't go in the proper way. They don't go in by the door. I think we could take an application for us that there are some shepherds who are leading their flocks who had no examination by anyone, and perhaps who still have no one who is looking at them, who is taking seriously what they are doing and confronting them when needed. There are shepherds like that who go into the church, but not by the gate. And I know some of you, one of you, even last week, if not more, are taking and have taken, will be taking presbytery exams, examinations before other elders. And I know from personal experience, it's hard. It's difficult. It's not enjoyable. At least I did not find it enjoyable. But you are being examined by faithful under shepherds, faithful, if you will, under gatekeepers. Some shepherd pastors have no one to gatekeep them, if you will. I think of Mark Driscoll. We certainly could think of many others who came to really to be the pastor of his church with very little examination. And then once he was pastor, he said even this board of elders that was supposed to help shepherd him, he wouldn't listen to them because they didn't have as many people in their congregations as he did. There are many like this, sadly, many, many pastor shepherds who they don't recognize the authority of any man over themselves. And that is a dangerous position to be in. There are also many shepherd pastors who don't truly care for their sheep, who don't know them by name. And perhaps they don't even know their sheep, who they are. Perhaps their sheep might recognize their shepherd's voice, but they have no idea who their shepherd really is. And as I mentioned, he doesn't even know them by name. He doesn't know them. And those sheep in that situation are probably much more likely to follow the voice of strangers, of wolves, in shepherd's clothing, if you will. Well, there are many warnings in this text here for us, I think. But what is most important is what follows when Jesus really begins to explain in verses 7 and following. This illustration, this picture to those who were confused, as we see in verse 6. And I want to ask you another question. Have you entered by Jesus the door of the sheep? Have you entered by Jesus the door of the sheep? Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." And then verse 9, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Jesus is the door of the sheep, the only door, and you must enter in by him. This is maybe not so much for you here in this room, although I don't know your hearts, but this is certainly where every person needs to be. The word door in the New Testament, as Leon Morris points out, is used metaphorically in many other places, but this is the only passage where Jesus himself refers to himself as the door, where he is seen as the door. But it's a similar picture to John 1:51, where Jesus is the ladder connecting heaven to earth, or John 14:6, where he is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus says that there is but one door to a fold, and sheep and shepherds alike must go through this door. There's no other way for them. Anyone who goes by another way is a robber or a thief or a hypocrite at best. Morris goes on to say that the words "through me" are in an emphatic position. It is he, Jesus Christ, and no other who enables people to enter salvation. There's a certain exclusiveness about the door. If there is one door, then people must enter in by it or stay outside. They can't demand another door. Maybe you, like me, have read multiple stories where it talks about shepherds, even in more recent times, who act as a literal door for their sheepfold. I've read or heard stories where there's four walls and then there's a gap in one of the walls. And the shepherd will literally lie down in the gap, in that door, so that sheep can only come in or out through him by stepping over his body. And the same with wolves. They can only come in if they cross over the shepherd's body. And thus, the shepherds keep the sheep safe as their door. And this is the point that Jesus is giving, that one can't get in or out except through Jesus, who is the door. As Kent Hughes says, that Jesus was saying, as the door, I am the protector, and I am the provider. When you come in the door, you are not only saved, but you are safe. When you go out through me, you will go out to the pasture. I am the provider. Nobody is coming through that door except the one who comes through me, Jesus says. And what does entering that door really mean? It's entering into that door is entering into God our Father's presence. Like Hebrews 10 says, that therefore, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. The door is salvation, but it is not only salvation, it is provision. Provision, Jesus as the gate also provides for all your needs. So as we conclude here, not only are we to enter by Jesus the door, but we are to be saved and find pasture. So not only the question is Jesus your door, but also are you a sheep of Jesus's pasture? It's a beautiful picture, the one that I just hadn't seen the importance of previously before studying this text. That you are sheep in God's pasture. You are sheep of his pasture. We know many passages, many even of the Psalms talk about this, that you are a sheep of my pasture. And it's not just about being God's sheep, but it's about being in God's pasture. Like Psalm 79:13, we, your people, the sheep of your pasture, will give thanks to you forever. Psalm 95:7, which we'll be singing, he is our God and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Ezekiel 34:31, God makes it very clear. You are my sheep. human sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, declares the Lord God. So brothers, you are in God's pasture. You are a sheep of his pasture if you have entered in through Jesus the gate. And yes, you will be in his pasture in an even fuller way one day, but right now you are there. You are cared for. You are provided for. You are led. God gives you all that you need. And he does that for all of us, despite our rebellion against him, like sheep who have gone astray in Isaiah 53, that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus, the Lamb of God, was killed, was sacrificed. He was even taken by thieves and robbers and wolves and false teachers, and he was killed. And he was killed in order that you and I might be his sheep in his pasture. So enter in through Jesus, your door, enter into Jesus's pasture. And after you are there in Jesus's pasture, you will be there forever, for all eternity. There is nothing or no one that can remove you from being a sheep in Christ's pasture. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this reminder, this beautiful picture that you are the door of the sheep. But Lord, we see not only that you are the door, that you invite, that you lead us in and out, that you protect us from wolves. Lord, you lead us to pasture. We are in your pasture. We are provided for by you for all eternity. And for that, Lord, we cannot thank you enough. I pray for these men, particularly, Lord, those who are studying to be pastors, to be under shepherds, that you would help them to, Lord, be following you, their great shepherd, that they would truly be under shepherds of Jesus Christ, their great shepherd, that they would be inviting and encouraging others to enter in only by the door, by the gate. And Lord, that they would also be checking their own hearts, checking themselves. And Lord, that you would be at work, Lord, sanctifying each one of us. Thank you, Lord, for saving us through Jesus, our great shepherd, and yes, our door. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to close by singing these words I mentioned from Psalm 95. We sang the end of it. Now we're going to sing the beginning of it, finally ending with, He is our God, we're the flock of his land, his people, his sheep, nourished by his own hand. Please stand if you are able, Psalm 95D.